You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, August 16th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you, RadioAlbion.com. We're wrapping up the work week. I hope you've had a good week, and I really hope you get the weekend off. I know that's getting to be more and more. Sadly, it's more and more of a rare thing these days, but I hope you do. If not, whatever days off you get, I hope you enjoy it, and maybe you'll get a chance to catch up on all the programming we've got up here on Radio Albion. We've had something new up Monday through Friday. That's always Dr. Johnson and I's goal, is to have something new up for you Monday through Friday. Nothing new on the weekends because we're getting new content for the next week put together. Well, it's not really a funny Friday again. I'm sorry. I need to be bringing that back. I keep saying I'm going to be bringing it back, but hadn't happened yet. But what I do want to get into is a continuing to look, because we got a situation now where, and for lack of a better term, I'm not really that fond of the term, if I'm being completely honest, but for lack of a better term, normies are going to slowly, or should I say more rapidly now, being brought up to speed as to what kind of system they live under. The illusions of their rights, things like freedom of speech and such, those illusions are now being burnt to the ground by the system itself. And many are no doubt being caught by surprise with this. Here in the U.S., I've often made the comparison, you know, with the people who were persecuted over January 6th. And you had all of these people that, some of them didn't even go into the Capitol, and they've been persecuted. They've been arrested, had all these charges stacked against them, thrown in prison under extremely harsh conditions. If it took place in a foreign country, they would be using terms like gulag and things such as that. You see these stories where the American press tries to, you know, oh, this is so outrageous. Russia has sentenced this person to prison. That's so terrible. Oh, that's so crazy. And then you turn around and look at what they do to the January 6th people. And you can't help but to be sympathetic to those people, while at the same time you think, where were those people when the whole Charlottesville thing happened? I mean, were they not paying any attention at all? Or did they simply choose to believe the same media that now defames them and said, look, at these were evil people, you don't want to side with them, and simply shrug their shoulders and said, well, this wouldn't happen to us because we're not those people. They should have caught up to speed. They thought the rules of engagement as brought forth by the system and demonstrated by the system would never be used against them for some reason. It defies logic to understand where they come up with this idea that somehow they're different, that somehow they're special, and the system will treat them differently or special. You see, you either have rights or you do not. Rights that are granted based on who you are not rights at all. Those are privileges extended by the government, and they can be rescinded at any given time. Because conservatives saw what happened at Charlottesville and said, well, those are bad people, so those, they don't get rights. But see, I'm good people. And yet, you see what happened with January 6th. We're seeing the same thing now playing out in Britain. I'm going to read part of a story, the relevant part of this story. This is from The Guardian. Woman, and the headline is, woman 53 jailed over blow the mosque up Facebook post after Southport riots. A 53-year-old woman who lived a, quote, quiet, sheltered life has been jailed for 15 months for posting a comment on Facebook which said, "Blow the mosque up with the adults in it." Julie Sweeney of Church Lawton, Cheshire, pleaded guilty at Chester Crown Court to sending a communication to convey a threat of death or serious harm. She was part of a Facebook community group which had 5,100 members responding to a photograph which showed a number of white and Asian people involved. Asian, of course, in Britain means Middle Eastern. Involved in the cleanup after disorder in Southport, she posted, "It's absolutely ridiculous. Don't protect the moss. Blow the moss up with the adults in it." Now, we're going to stop here for just a minute because I really probably should have stopped a little earlier. But she's pleaded guilty to sending a communication to convey a threat of death or serious harm. Now, even reading this slanted Guardian article, does anybody really believe, using common sense, does anybody really believe that this woman was literally, this woman was literally making a threat to blow up the mosque? Was she really trying to encourage people to blow up the mosque? What sounds more reasonable? What, that she really was wanting to get at the heart of some sort of terror plot to blow up a mosque? Or that she's venting frustration over the fact that the government absolutely will not listen to the people who are unhappy with the government's immigration policy? As you go through stories like this, the one common thread you always find is the government is completely innocent and has no role in this civil unrest that has broken out now in the UK. The government is completely innocent. They haven't done anything. There's just something wrong with these people. The government is just an innocent babe in the woods trying to have everybody get along. The democracy values of who we are. Did the British people, did they get any vote in "we want these people"? If they did, if they held a vote and the people voted that, yes, we want to bring the entirety of the third world and to take over our country, and that's what we want, and that's what the majority voted for, then you could say, well, yeah, the minority is going to be disgruntled about that, but this is the will of the majority being carried out. But for all their talk of democracy, no one ever got a vote on that. And now you're seeing this frustration. Now, before we get further into the nuts and bolts of what we see going on here, again, just as the January 6th people, where were they when Charlottesville happened? I would be remiss, since this happened and is going on in Britain, to say, where were these people when the likes of Sven Longshanks and many others were being sent to prison? Where were they? Because, oh, but they, just like the January 6th people, you see, they believed the very same lying media that said, oh, these are evil people. Just like the January 6th people, they looked at Sven Longshanks and others, there are many others, who've been persecuted for these speech laws and said, oh, well, yes, they're very, very rude. They're very rude. I still am not 100% clear, even, you know, because it's such a foreign concept to me. I'm still not even 100% sure what Sven was found guilty of. And I don't, I'm not saying that like disingenuously. I really don't even understand. It's that foreign. These speech laws in Britain are that foreign to me. As much of a, as bad as things are here in the U.S., it's so foreign to me. I seriously don't understand. And I mean, it's been explained to me, and yet it's still, I still don't get it. I mean, for using terms that, as far as understood, were actual legal terms. I think that part of it, and again, I really don't even understand it. I think part of it was for doing a reading of a historical speech by Enoch Powell, his famous Rivers of Blood speech, warning about the problems with that are going to come about from mass immigration. And from reading a historical speech, this was part of the case, as I understand it. And again, if I'm wrong, I apologize, because I seriously just don't even understand it. It seemed like such a strange and bewildering set of circumstances. But the point being, Where were people like this? Well, they weren't paying any attention. And this is dangerous. This is why I always say the truth is so important. To look around and understand. You know, if you don't understand the system, you're going to walk into getting in trouble. You see, just being ignorant of things still is going to, if you're walking through the woods and you're ignorant of the fact that there's bears in the woods that will eat you, being ignorant of that fact doesn't make you safe. In fact, it puts you in more danger because you're going to wind up in place that you shouldn't ought to be. Ignorance. The people walk around in ignorance of the rules that they're operating under these governments, and they walk into a problem. I can assure you 100, while I said I didn't understand, and I don't fully understand exactly what Sven was even found guilty of, what I do know is it was nothing like making a stupid comment like they should blow the mosque up with the people in it. I can 100% guarantee it wasn't for anything such as that. If this person and many of these others, because now they're throwing people into prison left and right, if these people had been even vaguely aware of the, I would personally call it a tenuous case at best against Sven, maybe they wouldn't have gone on Facebook and said they ought to blow the mosque up with people in it. That's something, you know, that's something obviously ill-advised to say. It's something like, even if you didn't, how do I want to put this? Even if you weren't dealing with these ridiculous speech laws, that's not something I would advocate anybody say, just because I think, you know, your words hold power and you need to be careful about what you mouth off about. It's easy to get whipped up in the heat of the moment, especially when they create these echo chambers. She was part of a Facebook group, so obviously everyone in the group was bouncing off each other. And though that environment, or rather that situation, when they create these echo chambers and people get in these social media groups, you're shoved in there, basically in these groups with other people who are like-minded. Well, that's all well and good, but the problem is this creates echo chambers. And part of the result, part of this is the result of all the censorship. I mean, here in the U.S., for instance, a lot of quote-unquote bad thinkers, their social media is platforms such as, say, Gab. And that's all well and good. I'm not downing on that. But the problem is, again, with the censorship, they separate people into these different groups. And for both those that support the government-type agenda, leftists and whatnot, and for those who do not, you create these echo chambers and they don't reflect reality. It creates an environment where you start one-upping. You know, you're on these social media platforms. Like this woman's on Facebook and she's in this Facebook group, with 5,100 other people. And they're like-minded people. And they're getting, they look and they see people say something. And they get all of these likes and positive feedback and positive response. And by human nature, they crave that for themselves. So they go and one up that post and post something even more. And they get more positive feedback. And it creates this environment because you create this echo chamber environment to where people start trying to one up each other on social media because they get this reward. It's a psychological reward. It's not a real tangible reward, but it's a psychological reward of approval. I got 579 likes and 1,000 reposts and 200 quotes or whatever of this Facebook post. And it's a reward and it tells them they're good thinkers. You see, they get this response. They get this feedback that society agrees with them. That what they're saying is what everybody else agrees. Of course, that's not the case. It's what everybody in your little echo chamber group believes. And you wind up with someone like this woman, and she posts something, you know, craving that feedback because she's not interacting with people that don't see things that way. She's not paying attention to cases like Sven Longshanks and many others who were put into prison on what I would deem as like a stretch of a cause. Again, this is my opinion. This is an American site now. And And so they go out and say things like this without any idea that something like this could be the result of it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm 100% sympathetic to this woman's case. You can't not be. We'll get into her case a little further in just a minute. But at the same time, walking through the woods in ignorance doesn't, what do I want to say? It isn't going to protect you from the bears eating you. People don't pay attention to how many others have been thrown in prison on, shall we say, much more, I don't want to say trumped up. I'm trying to be careful how I word this, but on much more tenuous charges. There was this guy over there in Britain. He's recently sent to prison over stickers or leaflets or something. And they admitted that they were legal, but it didn't matter. You see, the point I'm trying to make is if these were people were aware of what was happening to others in their country, instead of shrugging it off and maybe reading a headline from the media saying evil Nazi, if they would have actually paid attention, then they would know it's not a really good idea, especially in the middle of a riot, to go on Facebook and say, yeah, burn the bloody mosque down. And now here she is standing in front of a court. Sentencing Judge Stephen Everett, the honorary recorder of Chester, said in circumstances such as these, even people like you need to go to prison. He jailed her for 15 months, telling her, you should have been looking at the news and media with horror, like every right-minded person. Instead, you chose to take part in stirring up hatred. You had a big audience. You threatened a mosque. It truly was a terrible threat. And again, nobody in their right mind thinks this was an actual threat. She was mouthing off. Yes. She was, you know, she's saying something that wasn't a good idea to say. Yes. She wasn't literally threatening the mosque. And this line here just really gets me. You should have been looking at the news and media with horror like every right-minded person. You see, this guy is the arbitrator of what makes you a right-minded person. Listening to the media. You should have been listening to the media. You should have been agreeing with the government media complex and what they say you're supposed to think. But you didn't do that. The judge said so-called keyboard warriors. Now, hold on. I thought she was somehow a threat to the mosque. Now she's a keyboard warrior. This is just, I have to stop here. It's something when a judge just partakes in name calling. And that's all that's happening here. The judge is partaking. Now he's just name calling. She pleaded guilty because she was probably told, you know, this is what you need to do and you'll get a lesser sentence. And now she has to stand up here and be humiliated. This is a humiliation ritual. Now you're going to sit there wearing a stupid ass white wig, pretending it's 1592 or some crap. And he's calling her names. So-called keyboard warriors like Sweeney have to learn to take responsibility for their language, particularly in the context of the disorder that was going on around the country. The court heard that Sweeney was the primary carer for her husband, who wrote a heart-rending letter to the judge. John Keane, defending, said Sweeney accepted that she had been stupid. This was a single comment on a single day, he said. She lives a quiet, sheltered life in Cheshire and has not troubled the courts in her long life. Her character references show she lives a kind and compassionate lifestyle. Didn't matter because Sweeney was sentenced on another busy day in England's courts as cases were fast-tracked after the riots. When they give you these things, they never want you to remember the other things, do they? They don't want you to remember the Rotherham gangs trafficking women and young girls. They called it the rape gang. They had all this rape going on. And we know, they admit, their own investigations admit that the same police, the same courts, in other words, the same government, covered all of that up. I mean, their own investigation eventually admitted that. They covered it up because it would be racist if we went after these people. I think there was more to it personally than just simply a worry of being racist. But nonetheless, people remember that. People remember that context, or they should. Then you have this. They're clearing out the prisons to make room for these people. This is about making an example of people. And really, I believe it's akin to a whack-a-mole strategy. What you're seeing here are not one-off events. This is the system losing legitimacy. I have pointed this out before. The Tories getting blown out was not because the people woke up one day and decided they really like Labour's policies. People just threw up their hands and said, we're done voting for these wankers. These wankers. We're done voting for these bloody wankers who continually tell us they're going to do something and they never do it. This is what breakdown legitimacy of the system looks like. And when the system loses legitimacy, when the people no longer feel they are listened to or they understand that they're not listened to, it's a sham. When they understand this, you're going to get more things like this riot. You see, they tried to focus the narrative on, oh, there was a misleading post that the person was Muslim. And then the government doubled down and said, it turns out he wasn't even an immigrant. He was a native Brit from Rwanda. His parents were off the boat back in, I think it was 06 or 08, and he was born here. And lo and behold, the dirt wasn't so magic after all. The Rwandan did Rwanda things. And it just, they focused on these things. As I said earlier, you note that the government is somehow completely innocent. You have massive amounts of civil unrest, or at least, shall we say, a significant amount of civil unrest, and the government's sitting there going, we didn't have anything to do with it. Well, obviously, you're in charge of governing. If you're in charge of governing a country and you're having significant amount of civil unrest, then yes, obviously you're doing something wrong. That just stands to reason. And yet they're trying to tell people, oh no, we haven't done anything. This is what happens. And you're going to get more of this. I'm just saying, this is when the system is breaking down and it no longer has legitimacy. When you stand up here and make an example of people like this, they are admitting that now they're down to just ruling by force. There is no consent to be ruled over, no consent to be governed. They are tacitly admitting that they're ruling by fear and use of force and throwing and threats and throwing you in prison. And they make examples of people like this. There's a reason you're getting a story about this woman, because you look around, that's sending a message. We'll do this to her. We'll damn sure do it to you. And you can do that. You can rule like that for a while. It works for a while. It always has a shelf life. There is always an expiration date on rule by sheer threats and sheer fear and threats of violence and brutality. There's always a shelf life for that. It cannot go on. It's because it's not legitimate. There's more of the people, and I don't mean violent uprising. I mean just the people not going along with the system. The system gets killed by 1,000 paper cuts, as it were. The people, just all these people ignoring their little rules, and they're knowing this and knowing that. It's an example where this can lead, and where in many ways it already has led. And there's parts in Britain. There's parts in Paris that are predominantly Muslim areas that are no-go zones. Now, just hypothetically speaking, what happens if, say, a white Brit is sick and tired of the way the government and the courts and the police treat them? And they're not particularly a religious person, and they simply convert to Islam and move into the no-go zones. In other words, if the police and the government are a bigger threat to you than the Muslims are, what if you just convert? I'm not saying you should do this. Obviously, I'm not Muslim. But we're doing a hypothetical here. What if you were just to convert to Islam and go move to the no-go zones as a means to protect yourself from the government and the police. You see, now you've got a nation being birthed within a nation. And while they'll go around and whack-a-mole the people that are out there still oblivious to what system they're actually living under, you have another nation that's growing stronger. This is a nation that's in decline, but you have this other nation within it that's small right now, but is growing. It's growing stronger. And the declining nation already knows not to send their troops in there, not to go in there messing around. They're fearful. The one nation is going to rise. The other nation is going to fall. There's a whack-a-mole strategy of threatening and making examples of people. That only goes so far. That is, at best, a temporary measure. You create this cycle. They create this cycle. The government has lost legitimacy. Again, nobody's asking the question because the media is a part of the government. Nobody is asking the question if the government, if their role is governing the society, governing the country, and you have significant civil unrest, then that indicates that on some level or another, they're failing in their job to govern society. Does it not? How else? They have one job, which is to govern society. Now they have civil unrest. There's a problem here. And yet again, they're able to be portrayed as they're just somehow innocent. All the problem of these people that aren't going along, all the problem of these bad thinkers, they do this. Things like this judge mouthing off and calling this woman names. And this sort of thing, again, that's a temporary measure. Things are only, if you look at this, do you think things are going to get better or worse in Great Britain 10 years from now? Do you think 10 years from now, Great Britain will be settled back down? All the immigrants will be completely assimilated watching reruns of Benny Hill? Or do you think it's just going to be worse than what it is now? Even less governor, perhaps a complete collapse of the system as it stands now. What seems most logical as an outcome to you? Now, before we wrap up, I want to jump over here to another story because I don't want to just be picking. I want to just be picking on the UK. Because here in America, we're not immune. We're not as far along. I have a theory that this current election is the last gasp of people being able to hold on to the illusion that the system represents them. Regardless of the outcome, regardless of whether it's Trump or Harris, whoever gets picked, and that's what it is who gets picked, this is going to be the last. I think this is probably the last hurrah. The U.S. is running a little behind in Britain as far as the downward spiral of legitimacy. I think this election will be the last hurrah where people are able to delude themselves into thinking somehow they're going to make the system work. This story comes from RT, and the headline is FBI searches U.S. home of Soviet-born Biden critic. This is a short story, so I'm just going to go ahead and run through it real quick. The FBI has executed a search warrant at the home of Russian-born U.S. political pundit and author Dmitry Symes, who's been a vocal critic of the administration of President Joe Biden. The search took place on Tuesday on the property located in Rappahannock County, according to local news outlet. The author's son, Dmitry Symes Jr., described it as a bandit-like intimidation attempt by the U.S. government on a statement released on Twitter. In an email on Wednesday night, FBI spokesperson Samantha Shiro declined to comment on the raid, except to confirm that it had been authorized by a court, Rappahannock News has reported. The former aide to Richard Nixon, Symes, Symes is a naturalized U.S. citizen who immigrated to the country in 1973. He was described by U.S. media as providing a sympathetic platform for the Russian government in the heart of the D.C. policy establishment after Senator Rand Paul named him as a foreign policy advisor in 2014. In 1999, he published a book on Russia's search for a new place in the world following the collapse of the USSR. He was also the publisher and CEO of the National Interest magazine, which advocates a realist approach to international relations and geopolitics. Symes was one of the people investigated by Special Counsel Robert Mueller as a suspected contact between Donald Trump and the Russian government. The report, finalized in 2019, which failed to find any evidence of collusion between Moscow and Trump's 2016 campaign, also vindicated the political expert, confirming that his activities were normal for how D.C. operates. His family reportedly owns 132.6-acre property in Rappahannock County, which they bought in 2021 for $1.63 million. So here in the U.S., you have a guy that they themselves admit promotes a realistic foreign policy approach. This is the land of the free, buddy. We got the First Amendment here. And they've already tried to smear him once. They lied and claimed he had some sort of part of Russian collusion with Donald Trump in 2016, ultimately admitting that that was BS. And now they're going after him again for daring to promote a realistic approach instead of this unrealistic approach that is currently being promoted by the system. And he gets an FBI raid. You know, it's an FBI. They won't even say what they're hunting for. Oh, but don't worry, a court has authorized it, and so that makes it okay. This is what you call, let me tell you, this is what you call a fishing expedition. They get something, they get a court to sign off on, and they go in there and take all those computers and take everything he's got, and they start going through it looking for something that they can hang him on. That's what it is. No doubt this also is to give them an opportunity to interview him. This is the other, I suspect, the other angle they go with on stuff like that. They go in there, they start swooping all this stuff, and then they corner him up and say, we just want to ask you some questions. Most people are ignorant of the fact of, if you answer the questions as honestly as you can, if you mess up one little bit and contradict yourself, you've committed a crime regardless of anything they find in your house. You lied to the FBI, now you're going to prison. They corner people up like this, interview them in an attempt to trip them up so they can prosecute them for lying to the FBI, even though they didn't intentionally lie about anything. They just accidentally, in a high-stress situation, contradicted themselves. Now, we're not given any reason here of why. The FBI won't give a reason. All we're given here is he's promoted in Washington a realistic approach to dealing with Russia. You know, like foreign policy was done 40, 50 years ago instead of what we have now. So we have to assume that that's why he's being singled out here. That's why they're going after him. Now, you look around. I said sometime back, gosh, it's probably been a year or two back, but I pointed out with what is going on just with Russia, much less now several other countries, but just with Russia. You look at this approach and you look at it in the context of this story here. You know, how much longer are we going to, you know, you look at the great work that our own Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson puts out here, academic work about, you know, what is going on in, for instance, the Ukraine-Russia conflict. How much longer is that going to be legal? See, even when you try to stay within what's acceptable, what are legal bounds under these democracy systems, whether it's in the U.S. or Britain, what you find is those acceptable bounds are constantly shrinking. Things that were acceptable a year ago, now they're out of bounds, and you can be persecuted for that. Sven himself was persecuted over podcasts from years ago. Nothing even recent, just years ago. See, because they can retroactively go back. And what's allowable speech is constantly shrinking. You know, what you're allowed, what's acceptable, is constantly shrinking. At some point, anything outside of the bounds of the approved narrative is going to be criminalized. And yes, even here in the U.S., as the judge spoke in the earlier case we just went over, you should have been listening to the media. You should have been watching TV and understanding what is allowed to be said. What makes you a right-thinking person? See, that judge claims to have the ability to decide who's a right-thinking, what is right thought. He is claiming to have, and he's not alone in this, he's claiming to have authority even over what you were allowed to think. You should have been watching the media and understanding what you're allowed to think. They throw these terms around like disinformation, things such as that. And at the end of the day, all it really means is speech that the government doesn't like. We're seeing this all throughout the West. The shrinking window. There's a guy here, they won't even tell us what they're persecuting for. But obviously they are. The FBI comes up and starts going through all the stuff in your house. I mean, you can't say, oh, well, this is just nothing. You know, shrug it off. Nothing to worry about. How much longer is any sort of academic thought, critical, you know, viewpoints, the window, how much longer are those going to be allowed? Because the window for those things is shrinking every single day. We'll wrap up on this note. I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you've had a chance again to check out what we've got. I think we've got great stuff up all week here, Radio Albion. I hope you enjoy your weekend. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.